The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're having a good day. And I've been really busy working on intro, outro stuff for Carm videos we're going to be doing. We're getting there. And stuff like that. So, hey, I'm working hard. I tell you, when you don't have any talent at something, you really got to work 10 times harder. That's why I'm working 20 times harder. At any rate, so trying to get that done. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you want, you can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. Easy. All you got to do is just send me an email. If you have a comment or a question and you want to get to that, real easy. So let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. We also are asking if you go to Rumble. Because we are moving more and more towards Rumble and trying to get things going that way. So, I don't know. If you want, you can give me a call, okay? That'd be great. 877-207-2276. All right, so I'm looking. Let's see, 10 people just now came in, and we usually have about 70 now. It's going pretty great on the feed. And things are looking okay. Playing with lights behind me. A little bit too blue on that one side. I'll fix that later. But, you know, we're just working on stuff. I've been playing a lot with graphics and learning how to do things. I always have to teach myself all kinds of stuff. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm spending a lot of time working on that area. I've been researching also in the evening endogenous retroviruses. That to me is interesting. And stuff. I got so much going on. All right. Hey, why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's see. We got an email. Long-time listener on the podcast. Agree with your stance on this, but here's an additional thought. We see New Testament, both the flood and the Red Sea crossing are compared to baptism. I can't help but notice that neither worked out so so well for those who were submerged. On the other hand, it isn't hard to imagine that those saved may have been sprinkled wind from overhead waves and stuff like that. Thoughts? Well, I have an unusual view that I'm leaning more and more. Oh, here comes the heresy. People are going to see you're crazy. But I'm leaning more and more towards the idea that baptism is sprinkling and or pouring, particularly pouring. And that's what I'm leaning towards more and more. I know people say baptism means immersion. Not necessarily. I could show you all kinds of stuff in the scriptures where it doesn't necessarily mean that. And if you want to call and talk about it, you know, friendly conversations, say, I don't agree with you. Okay, we'll talk, you know. I've shown people some of the views I have, and they go, man, I've never seen that in Scripture before. You go, yeah, me either. I wasn't taught this stuff as I've studied over the years and looked at context. I'm like, I wonder. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm just thinking and wondering and looking and things like that. So if you don't agree, that's okay. You know, I'm not going to die on that hill. But if you want to talk about it, you can. All right. So anyway. So baptized into out of Romans 6. In fact, I'm teaching on Romans 6, and if you want, you can join me tomorrow night. I finally, last week was so frustrating trying to get everything going. It's been a long uphill battle getting all the equipment working and in place and everything, and then there was an operator error at the last minute. The operator being myself, who forgot to press a single button on the laptop, which unmuted the microphone. You know, what are you going to say? You just, it's like, oh, man. Well, we've all done it. Something that, let's just say, is kind of ridiculous. And I did that. So there you go. All right. And tonight, I'll be on Clubhouse in 3 hours. We do it at 7 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And I just answer questions for a couple of hours. People get in line, and somebody runs at, you know, say, okay, next up, and then they ask a question, and or they'll have someone ask a question and stuff like that. They try to keep the obstreperous types out. So that's what we're going to be doing, keeping the obstreperous types out. And what does obstreperous mean? It means boisterously recalcitrant. Okay, hope that helps. So there's that one about the baptism and the flood. Why did Jesus say the sins were forgiven for the man healed who was lowered through the roof of his friend? That's a good question. Even with the thief on the cross, we could perhaps see some repentance. We don't see that there had been any doctrine understood or a gospel presentation. So there's a bit of logic here. And if we put the context going, and I've been to that room, I've been there, where I've been there twice, you know, in different Israel trips, where you see the room where they let him down, and it's really interesting. So at any rate, it would not be the case, generally speaking. Well, let's do it this way, different scenarios. Put flesh and blood on it. Let's say the paralytic was unconscious this whole time, which I don't believe, but let's just say he's unconscious. And his friends came in and, got him, lifted him up, and took him to this place, opened the roof, and lowered him down. And he says, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." I don't think it's a very good scenario, so I just don't go with that one. So what most probably is the case is that he was a paralytic, and he had trouble, of course, walking, and that's why he needed friends to take him. Now, what would have happened is his friends would have said, "Do you want to go?" Or he would have asked them to take him. Either way, they already knew about Jesus and what Jesus had been doing and the miracles he'd been working. So they had faith in him. Otherwise, they would not have approached Christ in the first place. Now, the thing about repentance and faith is really interesting, because Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that's Romans 4:3. So what I want to do is backtrack a little bit, talk about that, and we're going to get into a little bit of theology, just a little bit here. But Abraham believed God, was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that's Genesis 15:6. So, hold on, let me clear my throat. So what's going on is Abram, before he became Abraham, was promised a son by God. And there isn't any issue here of repentance and turning from sin. It was an issue of trust in God. Now, remember, this is before the crucifixion of Christ. So they're under the old covenant. And the people had faith in God, and they had trust in God. So we see that Abraham, in Genesis 15:6, believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as righteousness. So that's what's going on. So we don't see in that state of, we would call that salvation, because Paul quotes that in Galatians 3:6 and also in Romans 4:3. In Galatians 3:6, he says, "Even so Abraham believed God, and was reckoned to him as righteousness." And that's the quote right there. But precedes that is to the Galatians, provide the Spirit and works miracles among you. Do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. Even so, Abraham believed God, was credited him as righteousness. So the issue of faith is what's going on. In Romans 4:3, we see that the same verse, Genesis 15:6, is quoted when Paul is talking about justification before God. And he's talking about this before the new covenant was instituted, because Abraham was way before that new covenant. All right, now, so having said this, when we get into the issue of them letting him down, it looks like they were already believers in God, they're Jews, and they were already believers in the Messiah. Now, one possibility is that the four friends, because there have been one in each corner, probably, possible too, but at any rate, his friends may not have been believers in the Messiah. That we don't know. But it does say, as he saw their faith, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." So what probably is going on here is they were believers in Christ, at the very least, they knew he could heal. Maybe not, didn't know who he was, but they had faith in him. And it was in that context of that faith that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. So the issue is, who was he trusting? He was trusting Jesus. That's the whole point. Now, some say, in a normal sense, that you have to repent and believe, and then you get saved. Well, there's some issues with that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But that's not the case for the people in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus, when he died, according to Hebrews 8:13, Hebrews 9:15 through 16, talks about the old covenant being done away with and changed when the new covenant is established. And when does that happen? When Jesus was crucified, when he died. So the thief on the cross was, this is what's interesting, Jesus died first. So here's a little technicality. The thief on the cross died after Christ, but before Jesus died, he asked Jesus to help him. And he says, you'll be with me in paradise. So is a repentance there? It doesn't say repentance, but it's a trust in Christ. And that's the thing. This is important because a lot of times people make a huge mistake. They say that in order to become a Christian, in order to be saved, to make yourself right with God, you have to repent of your sins and believe. I disagree with that. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to repent. What I'm saying is that repentance is not what saves us. Faith in Christ is what saves us. That's what justifies us. But repentance is something that goes along with our commitment to Christ. It's not our turning from sin and following the law. Thou shalt not lie. You stop lying. You follow the law. You don't lie anymore. That's not what saves us. What saves us is our faith and trust in Christ. So it does not say that Abraham had repentance, and it does not say that the thief on the cross had repentance. So people just say, well, they had to have that. Well, if they did, it's because God granted it to them, 2 Timothy 2:25. And if they believe, it's because God granted it to believe, Philippians 1:29. So what we can see is that the issue of our justification is by our faith in Christ, and in before Christ, our faith in God. Repentance is something that happens to the person on the inside because he's regenerated. 2 Corinthians 5:17, made new creatures or born again. John 3:3 through 8. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. 2 Corinthians 13:14. So this is, or is it 14, 13, 13, 14? And so it's the last verse in 2 Corinthians. And so that's what's going on. Okay, so let me check that verse. I always like to check things. It's 14. No, it's 13. I'm going to figure that out. I'll figure it out during the break and get that verse right. I always like to make sure I get them right. I believe it's, that's interesting. Yeah, oh, I see what I did. I could type that in wrong. So anyway, the thing is here that repentance is part of salvation. It's necessary as a part of salvation in a broad sense, but it's not what gets us saved. People think that the unbeliever can repent. He can turn from his sin while he's enslaved to sin. That's not what the Bible teaches. This is a nuance that not many people will deal with. Not many people will deal with this issue. So at any rate, and it is 2 Corinthians 13, 14 for that previous verse. Oh, and there's a break. So when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about this maybe. And I'm not saying don't repent. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. So I don't want anybody taking me out of context. We don't get saved by following the law, by repentance. We get saved by our faith in Christ. And along with that is regeneration. And regeneration enables us to repent, something God grants faith of us into, and repentance as well. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I hope that that teaching was clear to people. Oh, I always got to be careful. I do have critics sometimes, and what they'll do is they'll listen to what I say, and then they'll misrepresent me and say, Matt Slick said it's okay to sin and be a Christian. That's not what I am saying. But that has to stop many people from taking me out of context. Did you know that there are, I get a kick out of this, there are actually individuals who specifically follow what I say, and then they take bits and pieces of what I say, and then they take them out of context usually, or they twist them a little bit, and then they do videos about how bad I am. So I wish they just call up on the radio. You know, that'd be good. But sometimes they do. Sometimes they do, and then they ask certain questions a certain way because they want a certain response, and so that they can get more ammo. We know that that has happened many times. And there's even a five-hour video some guy put out of why I'm not a Christian. 5 hours? Man, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I didn't know I wasn't a Christian here. I'm thinking, you know, I'm trusting in Christ and all this and everything. But that's not good enough, apparently, these guys. Any rate, that's what happens. Let's get to Alex from Orlando. Hey, Alex, welcome, buddy.
Hey, there's also individuals who take your medical advice and drink vitamin C mixed with baking soda.
That's right, but that? You said you'd probably messed up on the percentages on the, how I told you. You said that.
That's true.
That's
we
right.
We cleared that up, haven't we?
Yeah, that is right. So no wonder there's obviously some directions disability you have. So anyway.
Yeah, directions disability. You should coin that term. You should copyright that.
Directions disability. That's right. Okay, buddy, so what do you got, man?
Hey, so question. I saw that you're going to debate Sean Griffin.
Who's Sean Griffin? I don't know.
He's the guy you're going to debate on Marlon's channel on the Gospel Truth. He just set it up.
Oh, I am? Okay, good. When? I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm serious.
You are.
I don't know.
You are.
Well, yeah, but when? I got so many things going on. I don't even know. Let's see. Calendar. I got to see when it. You know what it is?
I think it was like 40 days from now. He just posted that it was going to happen. That's the guy I told you about that I emailed twice, and so I was excited it was going to happen.
And what are we debating about? Are you there? I lose you?
Yeah, I'm here. What'd you say?
Okay.
No, I'm here.
So what are we debating about? What's it on?
He's an anti-Trinitarian.
Okay.
So it's going to be on the Trinity, and I'll talk to you more privately about it. I've been trying to get a hold of you, but we'll talk privately. Okay. But I've watched some of his stuff. It's hard to pin him down on his theology, so you're going to have some issues regarding that because he doesn't really hold to a specific position. He jumps around a lot, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do, kind of.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, I think it was Marlon. I said, look, I don't want to do a full-on formal debate, but just a nice discussion. You go back and forth discussion, moderated discussion. I think it'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
I just got too much going
on.
Yeah, and just a talk. You know, and when people call up and you know on the radio and or whatever, and they'll meet me you know, in different chat rooms, and they'll talk about views, and then it takes a while for me to fix them and correct them. You'd know about that. That's right.
I would. Let's not get into that. I would know about that. You're right.
That is true. It takes a while. It takes a while.
So anyway, yes, with this guy, it's good that you're going to have a discussion, but he's starting to gain more traction, and I know people are influenced by his heretical teaching. So I've been praying for it, and I'll keep praying for it. I hope it goes well.
Well, I'll just pray and ask God to prep me up, and maybe what I'll do is listen to some of his stuff just so I can get some quotes here and there. And you know, here's the thing, I've got to know what people believe to be able to talk to them. And sometimes I'll be talking to atheists, and I don't even know if they're an atheist. I say, are you an atheist? That doesn't matter. I go, yes, it does. I want to know where you're coming from. So not like cater answers. Well, I'm not telling you, okay, go away, you know. And we get people like that. So, yeah, just a lot of stuff, you know.
So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Rannies.
So, no, that's good. But so my question, so I just talked to a guy. I set up a meeting with him, UPCI guy. And I think it'll be helpful for me to just reinforce it and others. But what's the difference between modalism and the manifestation oneness that they believe? What are the differences between those two heresies?
You know, a mode means that the Father became the Son, who then became the Holy Spirit, so that when the Spirit existed, the Father wasn't existing. Modal monarchianism. It's a variation of Sabellianism.
Okay.
Or and some call it dynamic Arianism, but it, whatever. And so what they are saying is, what I'm getting now more and more over the years is that he just appears as different modes, but different forms, but they're not modes. They're just different manifestations. That's all. There's not a change in position. So I remember when I went to Anaheim Convention Center back in the 80s, and they had a United Pentecostal meeting there. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there, so I went there. And I had a conversation with five of the UPCI pastors, and two of them, was it, left, or three? I think two of them just walked away when I was starting to defend the Trinity. They didn't want anything to do with it, and they just left. And the three, and I gave them an argument from the Scriptures, and they all three said, two or three, said, well, we can see why you're Trinitarian. I said, can you answer it? And they said, no. They couldn't answer it. So and they were modalists at that time. Now, that's the best I understand and recollect, that they were modalists. So I'm beginning to wonder if they have changed their position into manifestations. But they say they've always believed that, but that's not what I've encountered. So I'm confused, you know, on that. But anyway, that's what's going on.
Yeah. And so this guy, I mean, these guys, they're definitely indoctrinated. It's definitely a cult, because mm-hmm. when I even asked him simple questions about eschatology or where is Jesus right now, he didn't even mm-hmm. know. He couldn't even really answer. He's like, I don't really know. I've never thought about it. That's what he said.
Well, that's one of the signs, depending on the context, it could be the sign of a cult that stops you from thinking outside their parameters. But it could also just be that a person, an individual, is just ignorant, doesn't study. So the number one guy, I forgot his name, in
David K. Bernard. David K. Bernard.
Yeah, that's right, David K. Bernard. I met him, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever it was, not too far from here. And I politely challenged him to a debate, and he didn't want a debate. And then I said, what about a written discussion? And he was open to that, but then after a while he said no. So he said no, but I told him, I said, look, before he'd made a decision, I said, I'm not just some run-of-the-mill guy. I mean, I study this stuff, and I know the arguments you guys give, and I know the Scriptures. I'm just being upfront with you. I'm not trying to be deceptive, but I really want to have a good discussion, and you could write what you want, and I'll write what I want, and would, you know, say a 300-word limit per going back and forth, take 2-3 weeks to write as you along, as you want. Well, let's do that. He said, that sounds interesting. And then from that, he later said no. So I think what happened was he did some research and found out, you know, I'm not trying to boast, but I know their arguments. I mean, I'll ask them questions. I'll ask them some tough stuff, and I don't think he wanted to get into it too much. Hey, hold on. We've got a break. Hold on, buddy. If you want to stay, stay. If you don't, hang on.
Yeah,
we'll be right back after these messages for open lines, folks. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show for Open Lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on with Alex, if he's still there. You still there?
Hey. Yeah, I'm still there. Hey, how are the cats doing?
Flopper is still as dense-headed as ever, and Obi's losing weight, and he's, you know, he's really old, so that's how they're doing.
Yeah. Man, I love those cats. You know, I'm not a cat person. They're fun.
Now tell everybody, how big is Flopper?
Flopper is a lot bigger in person than he's been seen on the videos. He's big, and the other one, what's the Kittler one? That was funny.
Yeah, he has a little mustache and all the hair part. We call him Kittler. But yeah. Or Obi. But so that, yeah, Flopper, people ask, they're going to tell him. But he's a purebred from Russia. He's a real Maine Coon, pure 100% Maine Coon. And so he's huge. Yeah, he's approaching 20 pounds.
I've also, I've also never seen one cat eat so many fake plastic leaves off a plant.
That's right. There you go. I'm telling you, he doesn't have it all going on upstairs. He does not have all his paws in a litter box.
There you, now you can use the statement. Now you can use it.
That's right. That's right. But he's a good
guy. I got to tell you, I'll let the other callers come on, but when that guy called in about the Bud Light thing the other day, I'm catching up on the shows, and then you go, we're going to move along. I'm laughing out loud in my car as I'm listening to this.
let's move along. Yeah.
This guy's a troll. I'm moving on.
That's right. You're moving on. Yeah, he was a troll. That's all it was. All right, big man.
Okay. All right, man. Hey, we'll talk later. I'll talk about that debate later. I'll let you go for it.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Okay. Okay, bye.
God bless. Bye.
All right. Four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Chris from North Carolina. Chris, welcome. You are on the air.
Wait. Hey, Matt. How you doing, House? Like I was telling the screener, and I'm going to try and make it fast, my wife and I were doing our daily Bible reading last night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we were in 1 Kings, chapter 13, and it started around verse 18, where the prophet of the Lord had been sent. I'm drawing a blank now because I'm working on an old Dodge truck. Okay. And my wife's question was, why did the old prophet lie to the man of God and tell him that an angel of the Lord spake to him? And, you know, basically caused him to disobey the Lord and, you know, get killed by the lion. And I told her, I said, I don't know, Pumpkin, but I know who does, Matt Slick.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to research that one. And I'm working on, let's see, I'm going to put it in my list. Let's see. Okay, hold on a sec here. Come on. All right. Questions. Here we go. So here's another one. So, why did the prophet lie in 1 Kings 13:18? Okay. So what I have to do is read the context, see what's going on, see if there's any explanation. You know, just look for stuff. So that's what I'll be doing with it. And another person asked a question, and I'm researching it. And it's, and because of it, I'm going to write three articles that came out of it. So it does happen. So so I'll be working on it, man.
All right, Matt. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. See, I like when people give me, you know, I don't know all the answers.
But
yeah. Sure.
Now, call back in, say, a couple months or something. Do you kind of look at it or sooner?
Well, yeah, just call back in a bit, a week or so, and let's see. I got a thing I got to do tonight. I got to finish up three articles, and I'm developing another project. And what else have I got going? And I teach Bible study tomorrow night, so I am booked. But hey, I'm always.
I know you got skinny eyes, Bob.
I got a lot of them in the fire. And then I got to take care of my wife. No complaints there, just how it is. You know, a lot of stuff to do. And she's pretty good. She's pretty, you know, pretty self-sustaining. So, you know,
that's why you got one like I got.
What's that?
I said it sounds like you got a wife like I have.
Yeah, she's a good woman, except for tasting men. But she's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Matt. Thank you, sir. And you have a great one, man.
Okay, man, no problem, buddy. God bless. All right. Let's get on. Cut him off there. Let's get on the air with Danny from Charlotte, North Carolina. Danny, welcome. You're on the air. Yeah, are you there? Hello? I can't hear you. You got a bad connection. Let's try it one more time. And then you want you call back. Okay, because I think it's not working. Yeah, I can't hear you, Danny. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Call back, okay? Get a new connection. All right, brother? Call back. And let's just jump on over to Crystal from Ohio. Hey, Crystal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm driving, so, and I might cut out a little bit. Sure. I know the Bible tells us to forgive.
Yeah.
And to love our enemies. And pray for people who persecute us. And
that's
I do that. My question is, I have some family members and people I've known for quite a long time in my life who I feel essentially are just no good for me, and they do things that just are not right. And so my question is it okay to just, you know, completely walk away from a family member?
Yes.
Who, yes.
See, we don't want to just arbitrarily say we don't like somebody in our family, we just don't want anything to do with them. But let's say that a family member, let's work on the far end of things, is into drugs a great deal, and everything he or she touches just, you know, goes bad because they're so bad, they're drug this, drug that. You don't want anything to do with them. You know, you keep distance, and that's how it should be. And you wouldn't want to run into children and things like that. And if they say, well, I'm not going to ever come back, okay, fine. You know, it's sad, but that kind of a thing is necessary. So then, you know, and then you go further on the other side, to what point, or at what point do you say, I'm not sure what to do, if I should, you know, continue or not continue. And that's up to the, you know, you and the individual and, you know, decisions, things like that.
Yes. Yes, sir. I have tried with the particular family member that I'm talking about. I have tried to have a relationship, and I've I just feel like I've exhausted everything that I can exhaust to try and have a relationship. And I also have tried to talk with this family member about the issues that I have with their behavior, and I am met with total disrespect and malice. In fact, this family member, I actually almost feel like I have distanced myself, and I feel like they have came after me in different ways, you know, slandering my name, just a number of things. And so, you know, I'm trying to forgive, but I'm also to a point where I'm just, I almost feel like I'm dealing with a demon at this point. And I know demon is probably a strong word to use, but it's, I've prayed about it, and I'm just at a loss. So,
well,
I'm thinking distance is a good idea, but I don't know what to do.
You do go to church, right?
I go sometimes. I've been trying to go more often.
Okay. Well, I would suggest you talk to the elders at the church. And also, just talk to people you know that you can trust. Sometimes just talking without a solution just makes things better. And so it's worth just talking to people and seeing how it sounds. I heard someone once say, sometimes you got to talk until you know what it is you need to say, you know, and I think it's what you should do is get counsel from others.
That's
as well,
good
because
advice.
I think it is, and just trust your friends and see what they say, and godly friends, and at church, you know, find out and pray, because you don't want to just give up on someone just because you don't like them. There needs to be a good reason, and if there is a good reason, that's okay. The Bible even talks about having nothing to do with those who cause divisions and cause problems and factions. Abandon them. After first and second warning, warn them, and then go away. Actually talks about it, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Crystal, there's a break.
Well, yes, sir, I thank you very much. You have a blessed evening.
You too. Well, God bless. Okay. That was Crystal from Ohio. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Let's get back to, let's see, Danny from North Carolina. Hey, let's try it again. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yes, I can. All right.
Great. Okay. I won't hold you too long, time is slipping by. Listen, I have Jehovah Witness family that have passed away, and they were Jehovah Witnesses all of their life. They lived good lives, produced families, worked, lived great lives, but I'm kind of worried. I know that they feel that they have served God all of their lives, and they should be with the Lord, but there's a question there that's bothering me. I don't think they were saved.
No, they weren't. If they were Jehovah's Witnesses and believed in official Jehovah's Witness theology, then unfortunately they're in a state of damnation. You know, I don't like saying it.
All of them. All of them, the whole Jehovah's Witness organization is basically unsaved.
It's a cult. It's a non-Christian cult started by Charles Taze Russell in the 1800s. The cult denies the Trinity, denies that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, denies his physical resurrection, denies justification by faith alone in Christ alone. It says the Holy Spirit is a force like electricity. You got to do good works to be saved. Only 144,000 go to heaven. The rest are going to inhabit paradise earth. And so it's, you know, I hate to say it, but I have to tell the truth. I can't just sugarcoat it. The Jehovah's Witness religion is a non-Christian cult, the same as the Mormons. Non-Christian religion. And they have redefined who God is, both of them have. And have abandoned the true gospel revealed in Scripture, but they both appeal to the Bible and will say, well, we believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Both of them say the same thing, but they define Christ differently than what the Bible does. So,
yeah.
At any rate, with the J-Dubs, absolutely, they would be damned. Okay.
Oh my gosh, wow, they were really good people, and they were a family of mine, you know, Mr. Wallace and my Aunt Goldie and one of the daughters, I can't even remember her name, and wow, you know, I talked to them on the street and I was like, I'm wondering about my family.
Yeah.
What happened to them? So there's no hope for them. They're basically gone. They've perished.
There's no hope. They still are alive, and they are not with God. They are in a bad place. You know, I don't say it with pleasure.
That's a hard pill to swallow. They really were good people then. Uncle Wallace, he worked. He worked in the post office all of his life, retired from there, and wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, thank you, sir. And, my stomach's kind of flipping right now.
Yeah.
And
I understand. But just understand that I don't take pleasure in saying that. It's just that I have to tell the truth, and that's what the truth is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've had that question on my mind, and I've been talking to them on the streets, you know, asking questions, and I said, let me call Matt and let me get his take on this thing, because I got to know where these people are. Those were good people, and I mean, not drinking, not smoking, not you know, being faithful to their marriage vows, the whole nine yards. They did well. I do remember in 1975 they were looking for the world to end. I do remember that.
Yeah, because the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is a false prophet. It's claimed to be the prophet of God. It made numerous false prophecies, and that's one of them. And I've got it documented on my website. And they've altered the Bible to make it say what they want. And as Jesus says, many will go to hell and few go to heaven.
Yeah, I got saved in 96, and I got blessed with the Holy Spirit came to me and one night, and I was speaking in tongues, and I was like, what in the world am I saying here? What is this voice? What are these words coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
And so I spoke in tongues, and I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And so I've been blessed, but good. I just knew for sure that they would be accepted, you know.
No.
And I'm like, wow.
No, sincerity does not make us saved. Our good works don't save us. Only faith in the true and living God, of which they deny.
Yeah, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I asked him to save me. I asked him to come into my life. And
good.
Well, I told him one time, I said, there is a real hell. I said, you people, there is a real hell, you know, because I believe in that dead Bible 100%.
Good.
And I'm going to tell you something else. He showed me in 1980 when my father passed. I seen this, had this dream, and I saw this figure going through this door. And I, you know, my sister came and told me a week later that you need to go down and see about your father, you know, half brothers and half sisters. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I saw the door and I saw this figure going through the door. Show me that in your word. And I found the doorway to the shadow of death in the book of Job. And I said, there it is. That's the door that I saw my father's spirit going through. I said, this book couldn't know what I dreamed. And I said,
but God does.
You ain't got to show me nothing.
Right.
I said, you don't have to show me nothing else. I said, I'm a believer. Yeah.
Well, praise God.
But
sorry to give you the bad news about about that. But that's how it is. It's unfortunate. It's why it's important to preach the gospel.
Well, I thank you, sir, and I'm trying to process this in my mind because it's too late now. There's nothing we can do for him.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Thank you. Keep up the good work, and God bless you. And you know.
God bless you.
Have a good evening, sir.
You
all
too,
right.
Man. All right. God bless. Wow. This is just a sobering condition. All who believe in official Jehovah's Witness theology will be damned. All who believe in official Mormon theology will be damned. All who believe in official Roman Catholic theology will be damned. All who believe in official Eastern Orthodox theology will be damned. All who believe in Islam will be damned. It's a serious thing. I don't take pleasure in saying it. I don't like saying it. But the truth is independent of my feelings, and it comes from God. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. He is the true and living one, second person of the Trinity. And I can get into all these details, but I just have to tell you that you have to understand, all of you out there, that it's important to understand who God is, who Christ is. Don't be deceived by the false gods of Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. No matter how much they might say they believe in the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, they don't. And don't believe in what the Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox say. Even no matter they might say they believe in the gospel of the Bible, they do not. And this is a serious thing. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And I'm not happy about it. But that is that's the way it is. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's what Jesus said. Let's get on the air with Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Howdy, Matt. Matt, you know, I was thinking about this thing where they took off Tucker from the air.
Mm-hmm.
And if the government and corporations and everything want to control what comes over the TV, the one good thing that could come of it, if people are going to really search for truth, they'll go to the Bible, I hope.
Maybe. And people are becoming polarized in America. And it's happening in a lot of good ways and a lot of bad ways. Polarization is occurring in racism. And this gender idiocy, stupidity that's being put upon us by the morons who are in control all over the place. It's as though the demonic forces have put people in place and now they're pulling their strings, getting to say and do what they want. But yeah, And it's just going to get worse, and it's going to, you know. But there are the
polarization. Yeah, I don't believe there's going to be a big revival.
Well, I hope there is. You know, I mean, I hope you're wrong, but I'm with you. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the polarization is occurring. The polarization is occurring politically as well. People are becoming very upset with what's going on. My wife won't even watch Fox anymore, and quite honestly, I don't watch it anymore either. I started watching.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I watch Newsmax, and One America Now. So those are the ones I go to, and I read some news feeds. Dan Bongino, I'll go to sometimes The Blaze, even though he's Mormon, but you know, a lot of good stuff there. I don't even turn on Fox anymore. I just don't. I mean, I only watch for Tucker.
No, I'm mad.
Fox is going downhill. So it's just how it is. You know, evil and liberalism progress because what strengthens people is resolve and difficulties. Ease is what makes people's minds as well as their bodies atrophy. You don't have to think critically. You don't have to work hard. And when the culture is penalizing the police force, penalizing good education. Did you see it? I saw a video that reminds me, a video of, or a comment, a news story, sorry, where a bar, people in were in a bar or a restaurant, stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance, or during the Star Spangled Banner, they stood up, put their hand over their hearts, and that people were commenting on this video of how evil it was. It's just insane.
Wow.
Yeah, they call them cultists and stuff like that. There are people who hate America. They hate America, and yet they love the blessings that America provides. The hypocrites,
right?
Whitewashed sepulchers. So anyway, we have to stand up. That's what we got to do. All right.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Matt. Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
Yep.
Let's get to Luke from Maryland. Luke, welcome. You're on the air. We got about a minute left or less.
Hi, Matt.
Mm-hmm. What do you got, man?
Oh, yeah, this is Biblicist from Clubhouse also.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
how are you?
I'm okay. I'm just telling you, you got about 30 seconds, so you got to ask a quick question here. Sorry, man.
Okay. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How do you explain that, born of water and the Spirit?
I believe, my opinion is that the water is referring to the womb, the water of the womb. That's my opinion. Most people don't agree, but that's my position. Okay.
Say again.
I believe he's referring to the water of the womb, though most theologians don't agree with me. And there's the music. Hey, I'll be on Clubhouse tonight answering questions in a couple of hours. You can get in. We can talk about it in more detail if you want, okay? And I can explain it. All right? All right, man. We're out of time, buddy. Call back. Hey, folks. I'm out of time, man. There it is. If you want to participate tonight in a discussion, you can download Clubhouse on your phone or Club Deck on your computer and look for my name. You'll find it. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.